From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 9, text 67 and 68, and 68 is on the board, so I'll read 67, translation. In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Nrisimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. There's quite a lot of Nrisimhadev temples mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Previously, there was a verse about Ahovala Nrisimha. Lord Chaitanya went to Ahovala Nrisimha, and there's 9 temples there. And in the previous chapter, the conversation with Ramananda Roy, there is a mention that he went to see Jiyada Nrisimha. And when we look at these verses, you'll see quite often it's said he was absorbed in love. Premavesh is the term used here. So don't think that because Lord Chaitanya's mood is Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam, his mood is to the luster and the mood of Radharani. Don't think that because of that then he's not interested in the other forms of the Lord. Premavesh means he's absorbed in ecstatic love for Lord Nrisimhadev. Haribo. Okay, please repeat. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. So the purport. Shiva Kanchi is also known as Kanchipuram, or the Banaras of southern India. In Shiva Kanchi, there are hundreds of temples containing symbolic representations of Lord Shiva. And one of these temples is said to be very, very old. Shiva Kanchi Asya Kaila Shiva Darashana Prabhave Vaishnava Kaila Sabashaiva Gana. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajataha Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Lalimana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangs Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vinishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. So it was only quite recently that I gave a Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So I'm stepping in because Malati Prabhu cancelled. So apologies if you were expecting Malati Prabhu to give class, because her classes are extremely ecstatic and mine are not quite so ecstatic. So my apologies for that. I request the blessings of the devotees, especially all the senior devotees. We have 3 Prabhupada disciples in the room at least. Thank you. It's a short purport, so I thought I'd add a little bit. I thought I'd read a little few verses from the Brahma Samhita, just because I would like to discuss the kind of almost the interesting phenomenon that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting temples of demigods. Because, of course, because we're members of ISKCON and Prabhupada is so forceful in his preaching that once you've read Prabhupada's books, even for a few days, you learn very quickly that we don't worship demigods. But actually, we can worship demigods. Prabhupada says you can worship them as servants of Krishna. But to worship them by themselves as independent of Lord Krishna, this is not our philosophy. And it's a fault of, I think they call it Bach Vishvarivad, having many Ishvaras. You have many demigods. This one's the supreme, that one's the supreme. This is not the correct way to see things. The correct way to see things is that we are monotheistic. And of course, because we are embedded within the culture of Hinduism, it can be quite challenging to explain to people that we're monotheistic, right? People think, well, but Hindus, polytheism. And then we look at the altar, but you have so many deities. And it's like, you say you're monotheist, how is that? It's like, becomes confusing. But Bhagavad Gita is very clear on that. Who can think of a verse or two from the Bhagavad Gita where demigod worship is not approved of or is equated with the business of foolish people? Anyone think of any? Kamas taistai rita gyana prabhajante na devataha tam tam niyamastaya prakritya niyatasvaya. Those whose desires have been stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations according to that type of worship. Niyata svaya, meaning just by their nature. Svaya means by one's own nature. So it is due to a imperfection in our desires that we even come to the point of worshipping demigods instead of worshipping Krishna. And of course, there's also another verse, Antavattu palam tesham tadbhavachalpamedasam devan devajayo yante madbhakta yanti mamapi. That those who are antavattu pilam, the result of worshipping demigods is antavat, which means what? What does that mean? What does anta mean? We're reading, End, yes. Antavat means it has an end. In other words, your enjoyment will run out. So those people who worship demigods are not seen from long-term vision. The Bhagavad Gita says, Yat gatva nanivartante tadama paramam mama. So if we attain Krishna's abode, we never come back. And as was mentioned before, Madbhakta yanti mam api. My devotees come to me. So whoever you worship, you come to. If you worship the forefathers, you go to the forefathers. If you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods, etc. If you worship ghosts and spirits, you'll take birth among such beings, you see. Whatever we place value on, that attracts, that is what, where we will go, because that is what we are valuing. It's quite simple, you know. You value mode of ignorance worship of ghosts, then you'll take birth in such beings, you see, and have to suffer accordingly. So, given that demigod worship is so categorically rejected by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, it's quite surprising that Lord Chaitanya is visiting so many temples of demigods, but actually it's not so surprising for a number of reasons. One is because we respect the demigods, therefore it's appropriate to give worship to the demigods. After all, they are devotees of Krishna. So I mentioned this before, that it's a story that Revati Nandana Prabhu gives. He says, one time Prabhupada went to a Durga temple because some gentleman asked him to come. And so he said to his disciples, watch what I do and copy what I do. So when he entered the temple, he bowed down to Durga, and Durga was on his right-hand side. Normally we bow down Krishna on our left. So when you worship the demigod, or you bow down to the demigod, you keep the demigod on your right-hand side. So it's understood that Krishna is on your left. So you're not worshipping the demigod in exclusion to Krishna. See? So that's a little tip if you're ever in India. You won't find so many temples of other deities, but in London there are a few, I'm sure. So if someone wants to argue that, well, maybe what's wrong with worshipping the demigods? Well, how do you know that Krishna is supreme? Then there's a lovely set of verses from the Brahma Samhita, and I'm going to read them. And they're not sequential, there's a few gaps, but I've picked out the main verses. And this is, it's a nice way to give a philosophical rebuttal of the Panchopasana worship. Everyone heard of Panchopasana? Upasana means worship and pancha means five. So Prabhupada, he sometimes describes this in his books. So who are the, which are the five deities mentioned in the Panchopasana? There's different versions. Surya, Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, Vishnu. Sometimes it's described as philosophical Vishnu. The idea being they're not worshipping Vishnu in the right mood because they're worshipping these forms in order to attain the formless. So the worship of Vishnu is a means to an end, so it's not proper worship of Vishnu. So these are the five deities. Sometimes even Lord Brahma is mentioned as one. So if you take out Surya or Durga, then you can have Lord Brahma. So the Brahma Samhita is very clear about the relationship of those demigods to Lord Govinda. So here's what Lord Brahma says when he's in trance, because remember, Brahma Samhita is the prayers that came to Lord Brahma when he's in spiritual trance. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adored the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So actually in the Sanskrit it's Ichanurupa. Ichanurupa means according to the desire of Govinda. So what's been mentioned here is that if you're a worshipper of Durga, you should know that Durga conducts herself according to the will of Lord Govinda. So Lord Govinda is the master and Durga is the servant, you see. Next verse. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So Shambhu means Shiva. So what's been said here is Shiva is just a transformation of Govinda for the purpose of the work of destruction. In other words, Lord Govinda is the origin of Lord Shiva. So if you think Lord Shiva is the highest, then you should understand that actually Lord Shiva is coming from Lord Govinda. So what is the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that establishes Krishna as the supreme of all the Ishvaras? Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. It's known as the Paribhasa Sutra, meaning it's the key to understanding the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. A Paribhasa Sutra is a verse which cannot be contradicted. It is said to be the fundamental verse of a scripture, and all other verses are understood in relationship to that. So anything that you read in Srimad Bhagavatam, if it appears to say anything otherwise, is not correct if it establishes anyone to be God other than Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. All verses of Bhagavatam are understood in relationship to that. So let's read on. Let's read about Lord Brahma. And there's two verses about Lord Brahma. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. So that's quite clear that Lord Brahma is coming from the pores of the hair of Mahavishnu. It's actually said one of the names of Vishnu is Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. That means innumerable universes emanate from him. If you look at the description of the 64 qualities of Krishna, which is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, there are five that apply to Vishnu and not to the Jiva and not to Shiva. And one of them is Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. He's also Avataravali Bij, meaning he's the source of all incarnations. Hitari Gati Dayaka, he gives liberation to the enemies he kills. Avachincha Mahashakti, I think, is the one. He has inconceivable potencies. And there's one other one. Wasn't planning to talk about it, so I've forgotten what the other one is. Anyone remember? The other quality of Vishnu that only Vishnu has and Krishna has? Anyway, it'll come to me. Lakshmi? No, there's another one. Hetari Gatidai gives liberation. Anyway, it'll come to me. So I mention that because it's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita that so all these Brahmas, you know, one may think Lord Brahma is supreme. So there's a story, there's various stories, various myths, and some of them are true. And I don't know what exactly, I haven't seen Prabhupada specifically mention it, but it is said that Lord Brahma was cursed, that no one would worship him. But there's one exception, is Pushkar. So you go to Pushkar in India, there's a temple of Lord Brahma, but generally speaking, you won't find temples of Lord Brahma because he was cursed. The next verse about Lord Brahma. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion, Brahma, receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakant, etc. Once again, it's establishing that the sun is the origin of all light, and then you just see a little reflection in a jewel. And you should understand that the jewel in and of itself is not the power. The power is coming from the sun. So in the same way, whatever power Lord Brahma has, is ultimately coming from Krishna. And then here's one about Ganesh. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesh upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds. See? So it's understood if you take someone's feet on your head, that establishes a relationship of master and servant. And in this regard, Lord Shiva, he also carries Shishi Radhago Kulinanda Ki Jai, Shishi Sidharam Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai, Shishi Gaurinitai Ki Jai. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhar. He's carrying the causal ocean. You know, the Ganges is the causal ocean. And how did the causal ocean appear? Lord Vamana poked a hole in the universe, and then, therefore, this is the water that has bathed the feet of Vamana Dev, and Lord Shiva has taken that water on his head, you see. So that establishes the relationship between Shiva and Krishna. And the last one, the sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. Once again, it's about in pursuance of the order. Chaiva means shadow. So he operates just like the shadow. Chaiva means you follow the desire. The perfect servant knows the desire of the master. The master does not even have to speak, right? First class servant. Second class servant has to be told but performs the activity. Third class, even if this master tells the servant still doesn't follow. So we want to be first class servants. So that's a little bit about the demigod worship. So I'll give the context of this pastime. There's two, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is said to be divided into two sections, Adi Lila and Shesha Lila. Everyone know this? This is what Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Shesha Lila. But Shesha Lila has two subdivisions. What are the two subdivisions of Shesha Lila? Madhya and Ancha, yes. Madhya Lila means when Mahaprabhu is traveling, as he's preaching all over South India. Ancha Lila is when he resides in Jagannath Puri. And that Lila has also got two sections, the first 6 years and the remaining 12 years. So the first 6 years, Mahaprabhu is still very much establishing the Yuga Dharma, which is Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's the Yuga Dharma. So Mahaprabhu, he's establishing that. He's promoting it in Jagannath Puri. He's going to the temple, engaging in kirtan. And that's for the first 6 years at Jagannath Puri. And for the remaining 12 years, he withdraws. He's internally absorbed. Remember, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. He's in the mood of Radharani. So he's experiencing the ecstasy that only she can taste, you see. And where is he doing this? Who knows the name of the place where he's enjoying this ecstatic mood. St. Jagannath Puri, famous place? Gambira, yes, the Gambira. So the Gambira is where the Lord's very, very deep absorption in the mood of Radharani is taking place, and he has a few servants who are assisting him, and he is performing incredible pastimes. Even though he's locked in, he mysteriously escapes. He drowns, apparently, gets caught by a fisherman. The fisherman touches his body and becomes mad and thinks he's haunted by a ghost. This is a symptom of love of God. There's so many wonderful pastimes like that. Or he has scratches and blood on his face because he's in ecstasy. He's rubbing his face against the walls. There's all this kind of really high-level, intoxicating madness going on, the madness of love of God, which is said to be like eating hot sugar cane. What does that mean? Who can explain this analogy? Why would love of God be like hot sugar cane? Antaranga Prabhu?
It's so sweet, but at the same time, it's so hot, but because it's so sweet,
you
can't stop.
Yes. One time, Tamil Krishnamurai said, Krishna Prema is like good chutney. It's very sweet, but it's also, if it's got this chili in it, it's too hot. So it's too hot to take, but too sweet to resist. So love of God is like that. It's torture, and it's said to be Visham Rita Milana. It is the coming together of poison and nectar simultaneously. You see? So if you see someone who's just on the ground dying in ecstasy, then this person's got love of God. And it's said love of God is so severe that you can't even maintain your material body. If your love of Godhead becomes too intense, then you will give up your body because you can't take it. That's how destructive it is. You will give up your life. And those who have it, they think they don't have it. Yeah? And they think, because if I had love of God, I wouldn't be able to maintain my body. This is what they're thinking. So if you're in a material body and you haven't given it up, then that's because you're attached to the material world, so you don't have love of God. That's the mystery of love of God. And so so I mentioned that is the final 12 years of the pastime that's taken place in Jagannath Puri. So that's the context. Because it's just a two-sentence purport, I thought I'd continue with a discussion, just a question I had. If someone asked you, what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness in one sentence, or describe the path of Krishna consciousness in one sentence, what is the goal, what does it mean to become advanced, what answer would you give? One sentence. Now I'm going to give you, I was just reflecting on it, and I came up with 13 answers that I would give. But there's many more, I'm sure. So I thought I'd just to, kind of, it's nice to get to the essence. There's a phrase, saragrahi Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is one who takes the essence. So if you're going to give someone the essence of Krishna consciousness in one sentence, what would you say? Now I'll give you one example. One answer might be, it is to connect to the root of existence. Yeah? It said, yata taror mula nishichinina tripyanti tatskanda bujo basaka pranopa harats nachendriyanan tataiva sarvahanamachitecha. Just as by watering the root of a tree, all the branches and leaves get nourished, or just by feeding the stomach, all the senses are enlivened. In the same way, if we worship Krishna or Achyuta, everyone becomes satisfied. Yeah? There's a famous pastime, Draupadi. You know, the conniving Duryodhana tried to get Durvasa Muni to curse the Pandavas, and he arranged that the Durvasa Muni and his thousands of disciples would arrive just after the Pandavas had finished eating. Remember, Draupadi had the Akshay Patra, special plate that produced unlimited food. It was given by the sun god. Actually, I think it was Domya Rishi gave it to but it's from the sun god. And the purpose was, Yudhisthira, being so pious, he couldn't bear the thought of going to the forest and not feeding all the saints, all the sages. So this was a gift. Worship the sun god. The sun god gives this gift. And by providing unlimited food, it meant the Pandavas could fulfill their religious duty of feeding the sadhus. And you just feed, 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 feed. And as soon as Draupadi ate, no more food. So she ate, no more food. And suddenly all the disciples of Durvasamuni come and they go to take bath, expecting a nice feast. And then Pandavas are worried, what are we going to do here? And then Krishna, being the super soul, he understood what was happening. So he suddenly appeared on the spot and he picked a little bit of vegetable from one of the pots and ate that, and he became satisfied. So it said, Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. When Krishna's satisfied, everyone's satisfied. So just at that moment, all the followers of Durvasamuni, they suddenly felt satisfied. They weren't hungry anymore. And they thought it would be very rude to not receive the food from Yudhisthira. So they decided, we won't go back, and they just left. They didn't want to embarrass the hosts. So in that way, Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam, Krishna's satisfied when everyone's satisfied. So you could say, in one sentence, Krishna consciousness means to connect with the root. One time, Prabhupada was walking somewhere in, I think it might have been St. James's Park in London, and he pointed to some yellow grass, and he said, what does this mean? This is Prabhupada's style, right? There's so many pastimes like that. What does this mean? We had the example, bird droppings. What does it mean? Under the tree. The answer was, the birds are attached to their home because they're passing, dropping on the same place, which means they're sleeping in the same place every night. It's attachment to their home. So he pointed to the yellow grass. What does it mean? What was the answer? Prabhupada said, the grass is disconnected from the root. Therefore, it's fallen. It's fallen. You see, it's lost its vitality. It's become dying. It's dying due to detachment from the root. So the idea is, we will thrive if we attach ourselves to Krishna. So we become attached to Krishna through the process of yoga. That's one answer. If you want to know what is Krishna consciousness in one sentence, you could say it means linking with the Supreme, yoga. Very much connected with searching out the root, you see. So that's one answer. Another one is, it means surrender to Krishna. Sarva Dharma Pritchaja. That's what Krishna consciousness is in an essence. So there's two examples. So I've got another 11, but I'm going to invite you. Have you got a microphone, anyone? And we can put your hand up if you want to just say, you have to keep it succinct. If it's more than one sentence, it's not good enough. It has to be one sentence. Prabhu, you got an answer? Thank you.
So Krishna consciousness means to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna.
Fantastic answer, that one. I had that answer, roughly speaking. I said surrender to Krishna, and then I thought surrender to Guru is the essence of Krishna consciousness, because you can't come to Krishna directly. If you try and not talk about the Guru, that's not a proper description of Krishna consciousness. So you brought in servant of the servant. You know, Sevan Mukhi Hijivadav Smayameva Spirachida. Krishna consciousness only manifests one who has a proper service attitude. So if we don't have the service attitude towards the Vaishnavas, then we can't expect to advance in Krishna consciousness. So to become the servant of the servant of the servant, or Gopi Bartu Kamala Padayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. Mahaprabhu said, I don't belong to any Varna, Naham Vipro Nacha Narapati Napi Vaishyona Sudro, etc. No Varna, no Ashram, I'm simply servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. So to be servant of the servant is the right mood. So I like that answer, and that's a very good, in a nutshell, what Krishna consciousness is. Prayojana Prabhu?
There's the Chaitanya Namastotra, mm-hmm. and he talks about that. Chaitanya means the character of the living force. Mm. And the character of the living force is nothing but service.
Service, yes.
That's the goal.
Service is the goal. So it's connected. Service in
general.
Yeah,
and Krishna is serving all the time.
We could say the goal is the complete destruction of false ego and establishing of real ego. That's Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. Any other answers? Deepak Prabhu.
Kind of connected to your first answer, Prabhupada would say that the goal is to reawaken our dormant loving relationship with Krishna. That we
yes.
have, sorry, that's longer than one sentence,
but yes.
we have it inside us, but it's covered over, so
Thank
the goal
you.
Is to uncover that.
That's one of my ones as well, is to revive our original consciousness. In connection with that, we could say it's to remove the jaundice of ignorance and develop our natural affection for Krishna. Sat Krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pito patasya rasanasya narochikanu kintvadaram anudidam kalusai vajushta svadvikramadgad bhavati tadgara mula hantri. The nectar of instruction states the Krishna's name, form, qualities, passings, etc. is full of nectar, but due to the jaundice of ignorance, we have no taste. So we perform the practice of sadhana bhakti, then gradually our taste is revived and the root of the disease is destroyed. It's destroyed. The disease is destroyed at the root, you see. So this is, it's very much connected with reviving our original consciousness. Or we could say, in one sentence, Krishna consciousness means to find our natural existence as opposed to our unnatural one. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes the false concept as nisarga and the real one as svabhav. So if we are enjoying this material world, that's a perversion of our real nature, which is to be servant of Krishna, and he uses the term nisarga. So nisarga is like a perverted state. Well, I was discussing Prabhupada walks. One time Prabhupada was walking in the winter, again in the UK, and then he takes his cane and he smashes the ice on a puddle, and he makes the comment, this is the unnatural state of water. Liquidity is the natural state. In the same way, we have a hard heart due to materialism, and Krishna consciousness is about finding our natural consciousness, which is soft-heartedness in love of God. You see, so water is the natural state, ice is the unnatural state. We are currently in our unnatural state, unless there's some pure devotees here. Maybe there are. And our goal is to become natural lovers of Krishna. So thank you for that, Deepak Prabhu. Any other ones? You got another one? Oh, Pramanava Prabhu.
To become free from the desire of personal gain and profit.
Yes, to be free from the desire of personal gain and profit. That's not one of the ones I had, but I had a similar one. For me, it was Tranadapi, Sunichina, Tarorapi, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. If we just become humble, humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, give all respect to others, don't respect any respect ourselves. That is that consciousness, that is what Krishna consciousness is in a nutshell. And it's connected with another purpose, another description is to always chant Hare Krishna. If someone asks you what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness, it's to always chant Hare Krishna. Once again, in the nectar of instruction, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtanano Smritcho Kramena Rasana Manasa Niyoja. What's the next line? Can you remember that verse? It's a wonderful verse. The last line is Kalam Nayeda Kilamit Chupasar Upadesha Saram, the nectar, the essence of all instruction. Oh yes. Tishtam Braji Tadanuragit Jananugami Tishtam Kalam Nayeda Kilamit Chupadesha Saram. The essence of all advice is to hear and chant, you know, following in the footsteps of someone who has awakened their love for Krishna. So there wouldn't be any. To give a description of Krishna consciousness without Vrindavan isn't going to work. I said that service to devotees, service attitude, not directly to Krishna, but through his devotees and through the guru, that must be there. Any description must include that. Any description must include Vrindavan. Arajo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Vrindavanam. Just as Krishna is worshipable, so is his dham, because his dham is non different from him. So the essence of Krishna consciousness is to follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan and imbibe that mood, you see. That's known as Raganuga Bhakti. So there's no question to advancement in Krishna consciousness without this Raganuga Bhakti. Prajana Prabhu? Yeah, okay.
Bhaktisiddhanta quoted the Bible.
Yeah.
We shouldn't chant the Lord's name in vain. Vain means vanity, but it's for his pleasure, for his because he expanded himself, his own bliss, you can't enjoy alone. So Krishna expanded himself to reunite us with him in his Ananda, where everyone is serving each other.
Mm.
It's
mutual.
Yeah.
Eko Bahusham.
Yeah.
The one became many.
Yeah.
Thank you. Prabhuji. There's a few on my list that haven't been spoken yet.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm going to quote the Vaishnav K, the first poem, the first stanza. I don't know the exact words, but His Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he mentions he's a gardener and he's going to distribute the fruits. He can't eat it all alone.
Yes.
So one of the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to follow that the preachings of Lord Chaitanya of Yugadharma and also spreading that word of Yugadharma.
Thank you. That's one of the things I was thinking. I put a little thing about preaching. You can't really describe Lord Chaitanya's movement if you don't include this idea of spreading it, right? That's such a central aspect. And it's one of the reasons for his descent, you see. Raga Marg Bhakti Loka Kriti Prachar. He has come to spread the Raga Marg. Raga Marg means what? It means Raganuga Bhakti. And then Prema Rasa Niryasya Kriti Asvadana. He's coming to taste the mood of Radharani, Prema Ras. So he's known as Paramakaruna Krishna, or Rasika Shekhar Krishna Paramakaruna, E Duihe Te Hoiti, Ichara Udgama. The Lord comes for two purposes, to spread and to taste, and he's known as by two names accordingly, Rasika Shekhar, because he's tasting, and Paramakaruna, because he's distributing, you see. So there's no question of really understanding Krishna consciousness in without understanding that it's about propagation. Jari deka tarikoha Krishna padesh amara gaya guruhoi taridesh. So we have to be always in the mood of giving. And if we give, then we receive. You see? Which brings me to another answer. It's about developing transcendental knowledge. Or including your answer. It's about cultivating transcendental knowledge and distributing that knowledge. That's what Krishna consciousness is. Because when we look at advancement, we can look at advancement in terms of knowledge. We can look at it in terms of faith. That's another answer. It's about developing faith. Sharanagati or surrender means Rakshishyatisi Vishvaso. I rely on Krishna. He will protect me. The degree to which we have faith, to that degree we can be said to be advanced, you see. So there's advancement in faith, advancement in knowledge. There's one answer, the most obvious one. I'll let you decide. It's I mentioned the goal. What's the word for goal? It's prayojana. So what is prayojana in relationship to Krishna consciousness? What is the answer? Sajja. Sajja means the goal. Yeah. But what is it? For us, what is our goal in terms of scripture? I've given so many answers, and so have you. Krishna Prem, yeah. Prema is the prayojana. Sajya tat pratim. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the Dashamula Tattva. 10 truths. And the final one is Sajyam tat priti. The Sajya, all the other ones are not Sajya. The first one is Praman. How do we get knowledge? And that's through the scriptures. Then there's 8 of them are Sadhana. Or actually, 7 of them are Sambandha. The 8th is Sadhana, which is Shuddha Bhakti, performs through devotional service. And the final one, the final truth, is Sajja, love of God. So love of God is actually the answer. In a nutshell, Krishna consciousness is about developing our love of God. But it's the same as developing our original identity. It's the same as complete eradication of the ego and establishing of Krishna consciousness. So thank you. Yes. Wow. It's giving up of ego, knowing that. One time in Jujumaraj, he made an interesting statement, and I loved it. I don't know where he got it from. Maybe it's outside of his scone, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he said, if someone does not have a a mission, a purpose worth dying for, then their life is not worth living. Something like that. But that's it. If you look at anything, if you look at any hero, even within the mundane sphere, any hero is someone who was prepared to die for a cause. And you know, they become heroes in society. Like, look at, take for example Gandhi. For example, he's a hero in India because he was prepared to fast till death. Of course, he didn't, but he was prepared to fast to death for the cause of liberation for India, etc. So to have a cause worth dying for makes your life worth living. And if you don't have such a cause, then the purpose is you struggle. You have an existential crisis. You don't know why you're here, what your purpose is. Now, here's an interesting fact. For all the scientific research into pills to help with depression, billion-dollar industry, the actual benefit is half as much. This is from scientific research. It's not like some religious cult saying this. This is from what the scientists are saying. The benefit of that is half the benefit you get just from gardening. So if you're depressed, if you just take up gardening, then what's the answer here? What's the reason for it? It's because other life forms are now depending on you. You're like looking at, or if you take a pet, if you have a pet, it cures depression for a lot of people, more so than all the pills you can take. Because what we're doing is, it's selfishness. Before I became a Krishna conscious, well, I'm not Krishna conscious, but before I came to the movement, I was really depressed. That's one of the reasons people come, right? What's the purpose of life? I knew I had real problems when that question started coming back after I joined. Then I thought, oh my God, I'm still thinking, what's the purpose of life? Even though I know the purpose of life. Obviously, I'm not performing Krishna consciousness properly. Krishna consciousness properly. But anyway, so I had this depression. And then just when I started doing things at the temple, which is the temple at Scotland, I used to come and cut the grass on Sunday mornings. And the devotees were out doing Sankirtan in Glasgow, and they'd come back and then there'd be some class and some feast, etc. Just by doing that gardening, I felt really happy because I was doing something and I wasn't getting paid for it, and it made me feel happier. That's another thing about psychology. The happiest people in the work sector are those who are doing work for charities. You work for free, you're actually happier than if you get paid, you see. So it's some of our nature. We're little minute particles, nicho nichanas, chetanas, chetananam. We're all part and part of Krishna, and our natural position is to serve Krishna. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he even says, if you can't serve me, you know, here's one of the purposes, to always think of Krishna. I mean, what is Krishna consciousness in a nutshell? It means to always think of Krishna, obviously. That's what it means, Krishna consciousness, 24 hours a day. But Krishna says, you know, Maeva Mana Adatsva, that's his first instruction in the 12th canto, sorry, 12th chapter. But he says, if you can't do that, then perform sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, then give the fruits of your work to Krishna. And if you can't even do that, then just sacrifice for a higher cause, something outside of yourself. Just to do that is progress, because the ego is moving away from self to something bigger. Instead of serving yourself, serve your family, serve your nation. How big does it get? Serve the planet. You know, we have the Extinction Rebellion. It's going up again, and it's a big movement. But these people, there's so much, their consciousness is more broad-minded than someone who wants to destroy the planet for a personal profit, just so they can live in a nice house, you know. It's a nicer way of expansion. That's why I feel affinity towards these people. And people criticize them because they cause trouble, they block roads and stuff. But I'm thinking, well, it's no big deal. Saving the planet's worth blocking a few roads, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's not legal, okay, well, but it's a good cause, you know. So many, you know, even the Hare Krishna movement, you know, Akhandari Prabhu, he has a criminal record. He's our former temple president. Why? Well, he held festivals at Bhaktivedanta Manor when he was not supposed to, because the council were restricting that. He was also part of the kind of civil disobedient outside the Houses of Parliament that came to decide the fate of the manor. And then there was a sudden sit-down protest in the road. So everyone was sitting down, blocking the traffic. But it worked. The politicians were like, oh, this is serious. We better keep Bhaktivedanta Manor open. So it worked, you know. So sometimes it's you know, Lord Chaitanya, he led the civil disobedience movement, right? And they had their torches, and they came to the house of the Chan Kazi, and Chan Kazi's very scared. But it was non-violent civil disobedience. So, and Gandhi, he used the same strategy. It's very effective, you see. So yeah, so Krishna consciousness in a nutshell means expansion of the ego. It means, expansion of the, it's the opposite of that. Expansion of the real ego, eradication of the false ego. I've pretty much covered all I wrote down. Greed is another answer, is to develop greed. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavatamati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lalyam api mulyam ekalam janmakodi sukritana labhyate. Krishna consciousness means to get that which has only one price. There's only one price tag for it, and that's greed. So you have to find this greed. If you find someone who's greedy for Krishna consciousness, then associate with them because it's contagious. You see? So, in a nutshell, it's developing greed, it's surrender to Krishna, it's surrender to Guru, it's preaching what you've learnt, it's chanting. Was it? Kali Kali Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali Yuga, Krishna descends in the form of his name. So if you want to tell someone what is Krishna consciousness, it has to involve the name, because that's the descent of Krishna in Kali Yuga. So we just absorb ourselves in the holy name, you see? That's so these are my thoughts on today's verse, and I will open it up to comments and questions. Thank you for your patience. Please quote. Well, I know 4:34. Anyone got a phone with them? 4:35. So 4:34 is yeah. Once having attained this knowledge,
you'll
never again come into illusion.
You'll never again fall into delusion. For by this knowledge, you'll see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, and they belong to me.
Yes.
And that belonging is not a selfish belonging. We belong to each other.
Thank you very much. So I'll read it here. Yajgatvana punar mohan, moham, evam yasyasi pandava, yena bhutan yasheshani, drakshasyat manyato mayi. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme. In other words, that they are mine. So this is the vision of the Uttama Adhikari, Sarva Buddhis Yab Pashed Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Chatma Esha Bhagavatottamaha. The Mahabhagavat, or the topmost devotee, sees all living beings within Krishna, and Krishna within all living beings. So that is the stable position. That is the original consciousness that we have to strive for. That is, only then will we be completely satisfied, free from the ups and downs of this material world. Boga Tiag. Yes, there we go. Okay. We're going to find Shamprabhu. Can someone take the mic to Smara Hari.
Thank you for the class.
Thank you.
Just had a question about, you mentioned how devotees, when they attain love of God, they can't maintain their physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, those devotees who have attained it, but they, for example, acharyas, or someone who, is it that their bodies are transcendental, or how is it that they can have a material body?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I mean, there's a number of ways to look at this. Some of them are nitya siddhas, so they come with a spiritual body. You can actually be transformed. Dhruva, he attained a spiritual body. Well, what I've read, and it's not from Prabhupada's books, but what I've read is there's different levels of prema, and so you can actually have love of God and still maintain a material body, but there's certain higher levels that you leave. And in that regard, there's this pastime of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He went into trance, and the devotees didn't really understand what was going on, so they took him to a doctor. They thought maybe it was some medical condition. And the doctor said, no, this is a symptom of love of God. And he said, this person will either leave his body because he'll just carry on that path and just leave his body. But if he keeps in his body, he'll become a very empowered preacher, you see. So that's the point, is there's a point where you don't go further and you have to postpone that advancement, because if you just go any further, you'll no longer be in your body. So they say. But it's a very high topic, but since you asked the question, that's what I've heard. So, and also Krishna, because he's Supreme Controller, he doesn't need to give the fruits to a devotee. So even a devotee may be qualified for the even higher. Krishna might keep that devotee on a platform where he can still function in this world for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. Yes. Vrindavan Chandraji, Haribo. You're off the altar, Jai. You're in your other clothes. Yeah, okay.
So you gave the example from Brahma Samhita.
Yeah.
That Lord Shiva is like the analogy milk, when you add a curdling agent becomes,
yes,
yogurt. So we also read in the Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva manifested in the form of Rudra from the forehead of Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So can you give us maybe a synopsis of the different Shivas and the Shiva that's spoken about in the Brahma Samhita? Okay. When's his first manifestation?
Okay. It is a tricky topic. I'll say a few things. There's Sada Shiva in the spiritual world, and that's Mahavishnu, I believe. Then there's the prototype Shiva from which we get the 11 Rudras. So, it's a tricky topic. You mentioned the Shiva coming from the forehead of Lord Brahma. So my understanding, that would be an expansion of the original Shiva. Shiva also has a form in the spiritual world, Gopeshwar Mahadev. So there's just so many levels of Shiva. There's even a purport, or there's even a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shiva Maya Shakti Sangi Tamagunavesh, Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. That Lord Vishnu, he's beyond the modes of material nature, whereas Lord Shiva, Tamagunavesh, he's sometimes absorbed in Tamagun, because Maya Shakti Sangi, his service is to consort with the illusory energy. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva, he's a Mahabhagavat. When he's not considered, sometimes he's considered a product of material nature when he's absorbed in the tamagun, and when he's not free from that, he's considered to be a Mahabhagavat. So there's kind of like, there's different, and how do you want to interpret that? You can interpret that as different forms of Shiva, or you can interpret as Shiva is sometimes under the illusion and sometimes not, just like Arjuna is sometimes under illusion because he's eternally serving Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, but that doesn't mean he's not now a Nitya Siddha, because it's all just a Leela. So it's a big topic, the different types of Shiva, and I've said a few things and I can't really say anything too much more, but I would invite anyone else who wants to say anything additional. Maybe you have your own thoughts about that. There certainly are expansions from the original Shiva, and I've said that Sada Shiva connected to Mahavishnu. There's also a Advaita Acharya is connected to that. But yeah, I think there's some letter where Prabhupada's discussing Shiva in terms of Sada Shiva, Advaita Acharya, etc. He's a difficult topic. Srinivas Prabhuji, are you going to enlighten us? Thank you. Srinivas is our elder of the assembly.
I was reading my Guru Maharaj. He quoted the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. He gives an example like a mechanic, when they're doing a dirty job, they wear clothes and, you know, not to get dirty, overalls. And so when Krishna or Vishnu takes dealing with the material world, they take the form of Lord Shiva.
Mm.
They're doing a dirty job.
Yes. Okay. That's a nice analogy. And that's very much what the Brahma Samhita verse was saying. For the work of creation, he takes that form. So if Krishna wants to do the creation, he takes the form of Shiva, which is said to be a halo, the reflection of the glance of Vishnu. Right? You want to know what is Shiva? Shiva is a reflection of the glance of Vishnu. Hare Krishna. So I think it's time for prasadam. If you go to the Haveli, if anyone doesn't know, it's usually kedjeri on Sunday. Very ecstatic kedjeri. I like kedjeri. I'm hoping it is anyway. Grantaras Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitya Gaura Premanandi.